Hallelujah. I'm sure if that was for Jesus, we can do better than that. I know if that was for Jesus, we can do better than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. Amen. So first, I'll just like to thank our daddy and mommy in the house, Pastor Ken and Pastor Bolaji, for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. I do not take you lightly, sir. And I thank God for your life. I thank God for all that he's doing through you. And may the anointing never run dry in the precious name of Jesus. Today we're going to be discussing, in line with our theme for the month, upgrading our belief system, which has come at a very crucial time, a time when we are seeing a lot of relaxation in the body of Christ. The topic I have for today is titled, The Unbeliever's Belief. The Unbeliever's Belief. And technically, I'd like for you to put the unbelievers in quotes. Amen? And I'm sure some people are wondering, the unbeliever, how can the unbeliever have belief? How can there be belief in the unbeliever? Amen. It may seem confusing. But we've seen that at different points in the Bible, that there are people who were not supposed to really know Christ or be connected. They didn't have the background. But somehow, it just so happened that they connected one way or the other, and they began to partake in the inheritance of the kingdom. Amen? And the topic that we're going to be, the scripture we're going to be studying today is the centurion, the fate of the Roman centurion. But before we go ahead to do that, I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We're going to use this scripture to break down what we are going to read in the passage, the fate of a centurion. And the word of God says in Hebrews 11, 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who is him? Who is him? This is still too low. The energy is low in here. Who is him? Hallelujah. Let's say with confidence, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, this has become, I think, one of my favorite Bible verses because of how packed, power-packed it is. You know, when you read it once, you just quickly read it and, you know, you don't make much of it. But when you take a step back and you look at it, you see that there's about 3 to 4 different things that you can pull out. It's saying 3 to 4 different things, but we'll focus on 3. If you're not pleasing God, what are you doing? You are displeasing him because there's no middle ground. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's the first part. The second part is that those that come to him must believe that he is, which means that he what? He exists. Amen? That he is who he says he is. Hallelujah. And the third part is that he is, in fact, a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And let's not take the word diligently or seeking for granted. Just, you know, think that we're just, you know, using words for the fun of it. Diligently seek him. You know, when you are seeking something, it means that you are searching for that thing or for a response from that thing in detail. Then when you are now diligently seeking, it means that you are doing it consistently over a period of time. Amen? So I don't want us to just read Hebrews 11:6 whenever a pastor says it or it comes up. We just, you know, read it and then we put it in our back pocket. We have to understand the power in the word and what the word is saying. Amen? Now, we're going to just keep that by the side now. And we're going to go into Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read from verses 5 to 13. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I really want us to, you know, have real energy here today, because I don't want to feel like anybody is sleeping or maybe didn't have the intention to come to church, right? I believe we all made up our minds that we're going to be here today. So when I say praise the Lord, I really want us to speak and shout hallelujah like we mean it. So church, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. There we go. Praise God. Good, good. So in Matthew chapter 8 from verse 5 to 13, I'll try to go through this as fast as I can with the limited time I have. The word of God says that when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." 13. And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very moment. Are we starting to connect the dots here? The centurion, just starting and trying to break this down into tying it back to Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 6. The centurion knew who Christ was. And when I started to study this and just put it into context, the Roman Empire was against Jesus. They didn't like Jesus. He was a troublemaker to them. This centurion was a Roman centurion. A centurion is the leader or the commander of a unit, a military unit. Amen? So it would have been extremely weird and uncomfortable for him to be approaching Jesus. In fact, he could have gotten into serious trouble for that. Amen? I want you to understand the length that the centurion went to in terms of being able to connect with Christ. Amen. So, first of all, he believed who Christ was. Possibly, he had heard of him, naturally, because Christ was a troublemaker at that time for the Romans. He was doing things that were disrupting the order that they had, in quote, established. So, he had heard about the things that Jesus was doing. He heard about the healing. He heard about different things that Jesus was teaching. But it's because he also had an interest. Amen? So when you picture it, the word of God says that when he entered into Capernaum, it says what? That a centurion came forward to him. So it's just like saying, say, when Pastor Ken came into Todd Bailey's, Brother Muiwa was there. He went forward to meet him. Amen? Now, but for Brother Muiwa to be there, Brother Muiwa would have either had to set people to be watching to say, "Is Pastor there? Is he there yet? Has he come?" Or Brother Muiwa himself would have had to be waiting for Jesus, for Pastor Ken, rather, in this case. Amen? So the centurion would have had to have done a lot of things, taking time with wisdom to plan how he was going to position himself to know when Christ was coming. I remember Christ used to come with lots of people. It's a crowd. The Bible doesn't touch on this, but if you dig deep, if you think about it, just think about the way it would have been. It would have taken a lot of planning on his side. So he knew who Christ was, amen? And then he also set aside all he knew. And what did he know? He had probably been told constantly from within his ranks, Christ is this, Christ is that, Christ is not, he's a troublemaker, etc. But he set aside everything that he knew that was not particularly friendly about Jesus for the one goal that he had, amen, in search of Jesus, to connect with Jesus. So when we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and we see that those that come to him must believe that he is. The evidence of this centurion believing that he is seen in the actions that he took pre the connection that he made with Christ. Amen? Amen? You know, sometimes I wonder for us as Christians, as sons of the kingdom, how much preparation do we find ourselves involved in trying to even position ourselves for connecting with God? Just food for thought. And secondly, this man, he knew love and compassion. How do we know this? In verse 6, the Bible says that he said, my servant is lying paralyzed at home. And I started to think about it. You know, when I study the Bible, especially passages and scriptures pertaining to stories that Jesus, concerning Jesus, I take time to try to understand and put myself in those situations to just, you know, what could have been happening then? This was a military man. Military men are not typically used to being soft. A servant is sick. Okay, well, we get a new servant. Send him home. Is someone understanding me here? Am I connecting? But this man was a soft spot. And I started to look. I said, how is it that it was not for his son, not for his wife, not for his brother, but for someone that could have been considered a stranger, a servant? And the word of God says in 1 John 4:7, it says that for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Amen? So the evidence of his knowledge of God, in quote, knowledge of Christ, in quote, is also seen in the compassion and the love that he had for a servant in his household who was sick. Again, I will pose another question to us as Christians. How many of us have that kind of love for people that are outside of our bloodline? Brother, sister, husband, wife? Just for you to think about it. Amen? And these were the things that I saw and I looked and I said, okay, there is a system here in which this man, who was supposedly an unbeliever, knew Christ not because he had a foundation, but because of the things that he heard and because of the love that he had for someone within his household, not necessarily someone that was connected to him by blood. And on the basis of this, there was so much preparation that went into meeting Christ. So when we say, or the Bible says that you must believe that he is, there was a belief here that the man believed that Jesus Christ was who he said he was and was the Son of God at that point in time. And God's word also says, going further, the second part of that, or the third part, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, how did this man diligently seek Christ? Because all this is not diligently seeking him yet, in a way. Yes, he planned, prepared. But when we are diligently seeking God, when we are seeking him, it is synonymous with when we go into prayer. When we start praying, either on our morning line or in the morning, whenever we pray, we are engaging God. We are seeking God. We are engaging him, sharing with him things that we want and things that we need, etc. We are communicating with God. And in verse 7 to 11, the word of God says, after Jesus said, I will come and heal him, the centurion decided that it was time for him to begin to seek him further, engage Jesus. Some of us would have left it there. Okay, sure, I'll wait, you come. But he began to explain in humility that, no, I am not worthy of you coming to my home. Rather, just give the word. And when I looked at this, I went step back again. This is an unbeliever, in quotes. Someone that did not have a foundation in Christ that most of us here have. Amen? And was able to speak this way to Jesus, engage him. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, the word of God says that people in Christ's hometown, let me just pull it up. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. I believe that's it. That he did not do many miracles, that's Jesus, because of unbelief. And when you look back at Hebrews 11, 6, yes, you may know God. Yes, you may know his capacity. But the challenge that may be existing is that we are not diligently seeking him. Yes, we know him. We know him. We know Jesus. We know his capacity. We've heard of all the things that he can do. But we are not diligently seeking him. And where have we gone wrong? We have gone wrong in many areas. But I'll just pick out just two. Because our birthright, our inheritance, is giving up when we fail to connect the two. That is, believing that he is and believing that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That is our belief system. Praise the Lord. That is the faith that we stand on. And it is on the basis of that faith that we do works. The works that represent our belief. The way the man did, he went ahead to plan. Not only did he plan, he engaged Christ diligently and he received his miracle. Most of the time, we end up on that first point, which is we believe that God is, but we don't go further than that. And that's why a lot of us don't get to see our miracles. We don't get to see our blessings. And in Matthew 15, 26 to 28, there was a woman with a daughter that was demon possessed. And I'll read this because this is very important for us to understand. We've been talking about playing church, coming to church, calling ourselves Christians. But what does it really mean? Is it just a title that we carry? Someone said BA today. I think it was pastor that said BA, born again. And I started thinking business analyst. Praise the Lord. We're just carrying a title. Amen? And the word of God says that the woman came and knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. It is not right to take, and Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Amen? Do you understand that scripture? It means that those of us, the sons of the kingdom, Christ was saying, it is not right to take what is meant for them and give it to the Gentiles. Amen? To the unbeliever, so to speak. But listen to her response. Say, yes, it is, Lord. She said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed that very moment. Most of the time, we find ourselves abandoning what we already have. It's like, for example, you've been in Canada for 5 years. Someone comes in for 2 months, is getting a job over you. And then you are complaining. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are in the house already. But then you are abandoning that without diligence, without focus, without determination. You find that you are abandoning the blessings and the inheritance that has been given to you already. And outsiders are coming in and partaking in it, but you are not. And in Psalm 118 verse 22, the word of God says that the stone that the builders rejected, it became the cornerstone. And we can go on and on and on and on about different instances where we find that we have basically given up our birthright without realizing it. You know, there's something that I heard today, a few weeks ago, not today, and I pondered upon it, and I think it ties a lot into where we are. The reason why we are unable to fully enjoy the blessings of God as his children, one, can be because of pride. We've gotten to a point in our lives where we feel we've hit the pinnacle of our relationship with God. And when we feel like when there is a man of God or there is a connection we are supposed to make, we feel like we are bigger than it. And there's no need for us to connect with God in that manner. We are now bigger than this, bigger than life. Or it could also be that we are complacent. And complacency comes as a result of the things of the world that we are beginning to enjoy and things are just going smoothly. For example, COVID hits. You can work from home now, so there's no need for you to drive up and down. You get comfortable, you connect virtually. There's no need for you to show up in church. And then complacency starts to sink in. And we begin to lose touch, but we don't know we've lost touch. And that's why when I heard this, it was very interesting. It said, tough times, they create what? I don't know if anyone has said this before. Tough times create strong men. Amen? And then strong men, what do? They create easy times. And then easy times, what happens? Somebody's smiling there. What happens? Easy times create weak men. And then weak men, they end up doing what? Creating tough times. And then we're going all around. COVID is an easy time. When we talk about being weak men or weak women, we're talking spiritually. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, that be alert and be sober. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for whom to devour. We are not going to be weak Christians. We are going to be strong Christians in the name of Jesus. And the reason why this scripture or this passage was so important is the fact that an unbeliever went through this Lent to gain access to his blessings. And most of the time for us, we sit back and we are blaming it on one thing or the other, or we are comfortable just living life as if others are not gaining access to these victories. But I know that God himself will lift us out of slumber in the precious name of Jesus. Now, I want us to rise up. I wanted us to take a few prayers. One of the prayers that the Adewe prayed a while back was that he did not want to be an ordinary Christian. He wanted to be a Christian that got to the pinnacle, not by man, but the pinnacle that God wanted him to get to in life. So I just want us to ask God, that God, I do not want to be an ordinary Christian. I do not want to be a complacent Christian. I do not want to be a Christian that does not pray, does not connect, does not seek you diligently. I want to be extraordinary. Very few times we hear of people being raised from the dead, or we talk about it. We don't talk about it much. But it's happening. But we seem to have put a cap on the miracles that we believe that God can do, or the miracles that we believe that we have access to. I want you to talk to God and ask him, Father, make me an extraordinary Christian in the name of Jesus. Make me an extraordinary Christian in the name of Jesus. Father, make me an extraordinary Christian. I do not want to just be here warming the church seats. I do not want to be occupying space in the body of Christ, oh Lord. I want to be an extraordinary Christian. Empower me, oh Lord. Upgrade my belief system. in the precious name of Jesus. Father, Lord, upgrade my belief system in the precious name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now, this particular one just, you know, is laid upon my heart. A lot of times we tend not to do anything because either we've had a fried fish situation, as our brother mentioned in the first service. There is something that has happened in the past that we have been holding on to, and it has created fear to make a move or to take a step out of where we are. But the Bible says affliction shall not arise a second time. Whatever that fear is that is preventing you from even asking God to make you bigger, we are going to ask that God rolls away that stone in the name of Jesus. Maybe you are afraid to ask God for that job that pays 100 million a year because you think it's not possible. Who is earning that? Or you are afraid to ask God for something that has been a long-standing problem. Maybe your child has been diagnosed with autism and you believe that there is no solution to it. So you have stopped asking God for victory. Maybe you have a terminal disease and what you are doing right now is just trying to live life to the fullest for the next few months or years that you think you have. I want you to cry out unto God, because right now we are upgrading our belief system. There is nothing that God cannot do. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? These are the words of the Almighty God. If an unbeliever can receive his blessings, even without Jesus coming under his roof, then you and I that are sons of God, we shall receive our blessings bigger and better in the precious name of Jesus. I want you to cry out unto God. I do not know what that long-standing problem is. I do not know what that challenge is. I do not know what it is that has been preventing you from taking that step. But today we are going to break that yoke in the name of Jesus. I want you to cry out unto God. I want you to cry out unto him. Father, we come to you, O Lord. Affliction will not arise a second time. Whatever it is that has been limiting me, I break out of it today in the precious name of Jesus. Whatever is standing on my relationship, whatever is making me comfortable, oh Lord, Father, I break out of it today in the name of Jesus. Father, what is preventing me from praying? What is preventing me from fasting? Father, what is preventing me, oh Lord, from coming to church? I break out from it. I break out from it in the precious name of Jesus. I break out from it in the precious name of Jesus. La karemba sekaye. I want you to speak in tongues, speak in the spirit. Father, I break out of whatever it is that has been limiting me in the precious name of Jesus. Every chain of limitation, every chain of almost there but never there, I break out of it in the precious name of Jesus. Any chain of I got the job but I lost it after 2 days, I break out of it in the name of Jesus. Anything that is limiting me, causing me to stay in a place of stagnancy, causing my belief system to be so low, Father Lord, I break out of it in the precious name of Jesus. Upgrade my faith, upgrade my belief system. I'm asking you for more because I know you can do it. Father Lord God Almighty, break me out of it today. I break out of it today in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I bless your holy name. And finally, we're going to pray for a better relationship with God. You see, sometimes we don't understand this, but God sent his only begotten son to die for mankind just so that he can have a relationship. That relationship is powerful. That is why the word of God says that the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill comes first, steal next. Destroy is to destroy the relationship we have with God. So it is to kill our faith, right? And it is to steal our joy and then now finally destroy the relationship that we have with God. But that will never happen in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray and ask God, Father Lord, strengthen my relationship with you. Strengthen my relationship with you. Strengthen my relationship with you. I want you to talk to God like you mean it. Father, I want to talk to you. I want to have a conversation with you. We heard it in the first service that there are ways in which you talk to God. I want to tell you about my day. I want to tell you what's troubling me. I want to tell you the friends I made. I want to tell you the challenges I'm going through. Father, I want to talk to you because you are my father. You are my best friend. You are my help. Father, Lord God Almighty, strengthen my relationship with you, oh Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We bless your holy name. Be thou exalted, oh Lord, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And let somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. I want us to stretch forth our hands unto Minister Muiwa. And I want us to speak the blessings of God, even as he has been used as a vessel today. The Almighty will continue to enlarge him, increase his grace, increase his anointing over his life, will touch his life, will touch his family, will touch the work of his hands, in the mighty name of Jesus. For in Jesus' precious name we are praying.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I know I have been blessed, and I hope you have been blessed as well. Hallelujah. It's time for us to bless the Lord with our tithe and our offering. If you're here in the auditorium, you can call on the ushers to give an envelope. And you can also make use of the POS machine at the back. If you're joining us online,